Revelation chapter 22. I switched the microphones. That way I can walk around with this one. Get right down in your face. Now, Brother George Griffiths would do that. He would come down there. Some other fellows, but not my style. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to read the first five verses. Sunday nights we've been answering Bible questions. Back in the month of January, we put a box out in the lobby and you different folks put questions in there. And so we're going to attempt to answer one of these. I told Brother Gary Matthews before the service. This one's kind of different. This could last 10 minutes or it could last 45 minutes. I have no idea because we're going to get into this. And I told him, I said, I've got very little notes here on stuff that I've looked up and researched. And usually the fewer notes I've got, the longer the sermon is. So that's not a good sign. So we'll see what happens here. But Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read just the first five verses of Revelation chapter 22. John writes and he says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and God, just to relax and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're in a safe place here tonight. God, we're thankful that we can be around those of like faith, and Father, we can enjoy the Bible, we can enjoy singing of hymns, we can enjoy praying, we can enjoy giving to missions. God, we're thankful for this place that we have. We pray, God, your protection upon it. God, we live in a hostile society. Father, we're not conspiracy theorists or anything like that, but we just recognize the signs and the times. Father, folks are getting more and more hostile toward the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles and the teachings of the Word of God. So, Father, we thank you for the freedoms we have right now. We pray that you'd help us to take advantage of them by enjoying the fellowship we can have, enjoying the time around the Word of God. Father, as we study something tonight that's very deep and it's in a lot of depth, we just pray, God, you'd give us understanding, give us direction. Father, help us to believe those things that are simple and clear, and Father, to trust you in those things that are not so simple and not so clear. Bless your word to each and every heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5 talks about the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem back in chapter 21 is the city that comes down out of God from heaven. Notice chapter 21 and verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." And in that new Jerusalem, we see the description of it in chapter 21. And then the first five verses of chapter 22 finish up the description of that new Jerusalem. And it says that there is a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. It tells us that there is the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruits every month. And it says at the end of verse 2, "And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The question that was put in the question box is, what does this mean? The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What are the healing leaves? Now let me say this, and this is where we come from every time we approach the Word of God. We believe the Bible literally unless it's impossible to do so. Because a lot of folks, when they get to Revelation chapter 22, they want to spiritualize all this. That river that flows from the throne of God, well, that river symbolizes this and really means that. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but I believe it's really a river. And I believe it really flows from the throne of God. But to sell books, you can't do that. You've got to come up with something off the wall, some kind of concoction, some kind of other thing. And so, as you know, they come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. But if you just get back to the Bible, you see that these are literal things. There is a city, there is a throne, there is a water of life that comes to it, there's a street there, and there's a tree that's growing on both sides that bears 12 manner of fruits in its season. And the Bible tells us the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Keep your place there if you wouldn't. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, as Dr. Hamblin would say, there is a sister verse for this verse in Revelation 22. And that verse is found in Ezekiel chapter 47. It's going to be good for us to remember these two verses, the similarities and also the differences as we try to answer the question tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse number 12. Here Ezekiel gives a description of a very similar scene. And in Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 12, he says this, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and that side, shall grow all trees for meat." Now, you know that in the Bible, meat doesn't mean flesh. It just means food. "Shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months." You see the similarities between this and what we're reading in Revelation 22. "Because of their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat," notice, "and the leaf thereof for medicine." The leaf thereof for medicine. Over in Revelation chapter 22, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I don't think it's going to surprise you to know that in God's wonderful creation, in all that He made, there's a purpose for everything God made. And that includes the leaves of the trees. They're used for medicine. Now, before all the pot smokers say amen and hallelujah, if you go on internet, again, if you research and type in leaves for medicine, not herbs, not plants, but leaves for medicine, you will find a book written in the 1800s that's got all kinds, and most of them, Brother Darrell, it reminded me as I was looking of one of the times we took a tour with you out on the grounds. You were taking somebody to see it, and we drove through these fields with all these wildflowers that were wild. To me, it looked like weeds. Darrell was explaining what each one was and what each one gives to the cattle that eat it. And I thought, that's just fascinating to know that there's a purpose for all this. And a lot of those are these small plants that are listed. But all of their leaves, God designed for medicine. When we spent our years out on the mission field overseas where they don't have the kind of medication we have in the States, they used the banana leaf. They used the different leaves of different trees for medication for different things. God has designed those leaves with a purpose. Even today, we use many extracts that come from different plants for vitamins and for supplements to our diet and things like that. And it's an amazing study of all these things, the natural things that God designed that give us what we're trying to get in other ways and probably are not getting it too good because of our modern diet. But the leaves were designed by God for medicine, for healing. Now, I will qualify that statement with this very simple thing. That does not include cannabis. That does not include marijuana. That book from the 1800s says nothing about marijuana leaves being medicinal. You say, well, that's because they didn't know back then. No, that's because people didn't have an agenda back then. John Fleming is the representative of the congressman from Louisiana whom we heard speak in Washington, D.C. last week. And he's one of the men one of his committees is the Health Reform Committee. And the reason he was put on that is before he became a congressman, he was a very well-established physician, Dr. John Fleming from Louisiana. And he made this statement, and I noted it and wrote it down as he was speaking about many different things to us in Washington, D.C. He said, there is absolutely zero, scientific proof that marijuana is good as a medicine. And he said, no, wait a minute, I saw it in the paper. Wait a minute, the newscasters told, yeah, it depends on where you get your information. When there's an agenda behind it, people are going to fabricate anything they want to. They've got an agenda to legalize that in all the states. So the first way to do that is say, well, it's good. He said, the only thing it's good for a person that's ill is as a painkiller. Because when they smoke it, when they do whatever they do with it, they kind of get, you know, that hazy feeling and they don't recognize their pain. But there's no medicinal purpose whatsoever. Remember that next time you're hearing the news guy tell you what you're supposed to believe. And the newspaper telling you, a doctor who's on a committee to research that says there is no scientific evidence whatsoever. Now don't come and tell me about it. I'm not a doctor. I can't do anything about it. But I'm telling you the word of a doctor that's on a committee in our Congress that studies this thing. He said there's no medicinal purpose. But many of the leaves. Now, I believe that God designed it for something. And not just for evil. Not just for people to take that makes them out of their gourd and drive down the road and put other people at risk and things like that. I believe there's, but I don't know what it is. But the Bible does say that there are leaves that are used for medicine. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 2, it says that people in the New Jerusalem, apparently by this looking at it, people in New Jerusalem are going to have the leaves, as it says in that last verse, for the healing of the nations. What does that mean? Who is it that's taking of these trees, this tree of life that's bearing the fruit? Who is it that's taking of the leaves of this tree for the healing of the nations? Let me give you the most common interpretation of this, which is the safest interpretation of this. That is simply this. You know the plan of God through the ages. We had 4,000 years of Old Testament history. We've got approximately 2,000 years of New Testament history. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. The Lord's getting ready to sound a trumpet and come back, and all those that have received Christ as Savior are in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, going to depart this world and meet the Lord in the air. Everybody else that's left behind is going to go through a 7-year period called the tribulation period. Described in Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19, God pouring out His wrath upon wicked mankind that has rejected Him. At the end of those 7 years tribulation is that great battle of Armageddon where the Lord comes down with 10,000 of His saints and leads us down to destroy the enemy once and for all. And at the end of that 7-year period, the Lord comes back and establishes Himself on the throne of David in Israel and rules and reigns for 1,000 years on this earth. That 1,000-year period we call the millennium. Mill being 1,000, annum being in Latin meaning year, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So many, when they interpret Revelation chapter 22, they're saying that the people, the nations, that are going to be healed by the tree, the leaves of the tree, are the nations that are alive during the millennial reign. Now again, look back at Ezekiel chapter 47, and that's exactly what Ezekiel is talking about. Ezekiel is describing these leaves in this day during the millennial reign. Ezekiel chapter 47, and as you read down all through this, you get down to verse 7, "Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river, very many trees on the one side and the other. Then said he to me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down to the desert." Notice this, "and go into the sea." You're going to want to underline that and remember it for just a moment. But the Lord is giving Ezekiel a vision similar to the one He's giving John in the book of Revelation. And He's showing him something that's going to be. There's going to be a great city. It's going to be the dwelling place of God. There's going to be a river that comes out, and the Bible says, "and the rivers will go down to the sea, which being brought forth to the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whatsoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whether the river cometh, and it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eglium, and there shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, and the fish of the great sea exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall be not healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river," verse 12 is what we read, "that end with the words, and the fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." That's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Those that are alive on earth during that time will be in heaven. But those that are alive on earth during that 1,000 years that Christ is ruling and reigning, they're going to have the tree there. The Bible says that a baby shall die at 100 years of age in the millennium. It's going to be a period of long life. And one of the reasons for that long life is the healing of the leaves of the tree. You know that proverbial fountain of life that Ponce de Leon tried to find down there in Florida? They're going to find it during the millennium. It's going to be the leaves of the tree of life. It's going to have a healing process. So when they get sick, when they get ill, when they get taken with anything, there's going to be a healing power. You remember that tree of life was the one that was back in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life is mentioned 10 times in the Bible. 3 in Genesis and 3 in Revelation, the beginning and the ending. And then 4 times, you know, the Proverbs of the Wise are a tree of life, different things like that, where it's spoken of generically. But 6 times specifically, you remember that tree of life was the one Adam was not allowed to take after he sinned, because had he taken it, he would have been able to live forever. That tree itself helps you live forever. The leaves of it are a healing medicine, according to Isaiah chapter 47. So we go back to Revelation chapter 22 and we say, okay, that's simple. Here we have the healing leaves that are for the nations. They're for all those that are alive during the millennium, so that during that 1,000 years they won't die. They can take of the fruit of that tree. Now, I'd like to just stop right there, but there's a problem with that. Because what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 47 is not what John saw in John chapter 22. Ezekiel 47, if you read it, John saw a city on earth with lots of water and a temple. And the city that John sees in John chapter in Revelation 21, 22 has no water outside the river of life. And there is no temple there. It's not the same place. What Ezekiel sees is a replication of what John sees. You know, if you get into studying the Word of God very deeply, you find out that everything on earth has a representation in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when you study the meaning for those words, because there's a replication, a duplication of things. So that city that Ezekiel saw was simply a earthly pattern of a heavenly place. He saw the earthly. John is seeing the heavenly. Now look back at Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why is there a new heaven? This is not the millennium. The millennium is in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 21 and 22 are eternity. Now, can I say this? I've been working on this one for 2 weeks because I want to strangle the guy that wrote this question down. And I recognized his writing and I went to him and I said, did you write this question? And he didn't even remember it. So why are we even bothering with this? I've been working for this for 2 weeks. I have been reading my Bible. I've been cross-referencing. I have had at least 6 or 7 or 8 different commentaries down that I've been reading what everybody says. And when I get all done and put it all together and I come down and I look at it, I say, I have no idea. I have no clue. You know what the Bible says? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. You know what I know? I know Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I know He rose again on the third day for our justification. I know that when I received Him as my Savior 40 years ago, He came into my heart and changed my life, and I'm a new creature in Christ, and I'm going to heaven when I die, not because of who I am, but because of what I did 40 years ago. Those things I know. Why do people in the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem, need the healing of the leaves of the tree? I have no idea. So the safe thing is to take that verse, as several of those men did, if you've got a Schofield Bible, for instance, is take that verse and say it applies to the millennium. But the only problem is, as you're reading your Bible, you can't do that. If you're going to rightly divide the Word of God, you can't do that. You've got to have, in Revelation 21 verse 1, you've got a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Now again, to answer Bible questions, we've got to look at the Bible, right? Well, I do. I guess none of you agreed with that, but to answer a Bible question, we've got to look at the Bible. You know what, folks? We have lost in our day reasonable thinking. I was just a little while ago reading an article about the uproar in Indiana right now over the new law. And the people that are reacting outside of common sense. They're overreacting. People are going to boycott the Final Four. People are going to stop traveling to Indiana. They're going to stop doing with business with people that have not changed anything. But because some people are going to have the right to deny people access and business, they're going to boycott the whole state. That's insane. Lester Roloff said it years and years ago. America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And you know why people, you know what happens? USA Today puts it on the front page and a bunch of people sit there with it and say, And they don't think. We've lost the ability to think. Now, Brother Gipp tells us why that happened. It happened when they invented the remote. Because now we can just sit there and get all our news and all our information from that, and we don't look at the Bible anymore. Our society has left the Bible and believes the newscasters. I could really take off, but I'll rein myself in here. Let's get back to the leaves, the healing of the leaves of the tree in the garden. In 2 Peter chapter 3, notice in verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. We talk about that a little bit more this morning. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. You understand, this planet we live on is going to burn up. Folks are worried about global warming. And again, that's another one of those things on the front page of the paper that everybody just nods their head and says, oh yes. And we get force-fed. And we don't stop and research and think for ourselves. This planet is going to burn up, but it's not going to be a melting of the polar caps and the washing out of the state of California, which might not be that bad a thing anyways, but that's not what's going to happen. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. You know what I love about modern technology? They can show an atom bomb, what it would be like if an atom bomb went off, and they show a person just dissolving, melting right there. That's how this thing's going to end. It's not going to be a slow warming of the earth, melting the polar ice caps. It's going to be an instantaneous heat wave that dissolves everything. And this earth is going to be burned up. Now, I'm all for protecting the environment within limitations, not going crazy. But I'm all for being clean. It bothers me. I drive down the highway and I see all the trash littered there, and there's something in me that just wants to take a day to go pick that up. You know, it'd be a donated day, it'd be free, and of course you do it, and the next day it'd be like that again. When we were driving through Washington, D.C. last week and going, that place is filthy. The outside of the city's going into town, that place is absolutely filthy everywhere. And that's our nation's capital. That was a bad sign. I'm all for keeping everything clean, but understand, this planet is going to be dissolved. Look at Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, that's where the world is dissolved. So by the time we get to chapter 21, we can't be in the millennium anymore because this earth has been dissolved. Chapter 20 and verse 11, you know the verse. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The earth and the heaven fled away. There is no more earth. In Revelation chapter 20, there is no more earth. That judgment of God judging the unsaved takes place suspended in heaven. Suspended in the atmosphere as they one at a time stand before God to be judged for what they did with His Son Jesus Christ. And if they've rejected Him, they drop immediately. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the earth is gone. Death and hell have delivered up the dead that were in them. And the earth is dissolved, melt with a fervent heat. And now chapter 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven. And then verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So in eternity, there are two places. There's a heaven and earth, verse 1, and there's a new Jerusalem coming down. You and I, our dwelling place, the dwelling place of the redeemed, is the new Jerusalem. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now again, you know why, you understand why the Jehovah Witnesses get so confused? Because they think that 144,000 witnesses in the book of Revelation that go around preaching are going to be the inhabitants of that new earth. And we tend to neglect or forget about that new earth and just talk about the new Jerusalem. But there are two places. At least, that's what it's looking like. Again, I'm stepping out on a limb right here. But I've got some support because I've read all these guys and gotten some ideas from them, and they'll back me up. Let me read J. Vernon McGee, which is not known as a radical Bible interpreter. He said, I personally believe that the bodies of the earth dwellers in eternity. Okay? The bodies of the earth dwellers. Again, there's a new heaven and new earth, and then there's a new Jerusalem above it. He said, I personally believe that the bodies of the earth dwellers in eternity will be different from the bodies of the believers in the church who are to be like Christ. That is, their bodies will be like Him. The bodies of the earth dwellers, and I kind of like that word, the earth dwellers. That'll make a Hollywood movie out of the earth dwellers. The bodies of the earth dwellers may need renewing from time to time. This may be the reason that they come up to the new Jerusalem, not only to worship, but also to be renewed physically and spiritually. at least the prevention is there. So what he's saying and what others are suggesting, that in eternity future, there's going to be two dwelling places. One, the New Jerusalem for you and I, the church that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and then also the new heaven and the new earth, where there are earth dwellers there. Now, your question is going to be the same question I have. Who are the earth dwellers? Where do they come from? And the only thing I can figure to God, and again, please don't go out and say, boy, Bible Baptist Church teaches there are earth dwellers in eternity. And I'm just telling you, this is what it looks like. But you know when I'll find out? When I see the Lord face to face. And I get the answer straight from Him. Up till then, we're just taking a shot in the dark when it comes to some things like that. Now again, there's some things we know for sure. But there's some things we just don't have all the way down yet. But there are, apparently, and a lot of fellows studying this, and you know what most of them said? They got to that leaves of the healing of the nations, and they said, well, it looks like this, but we're not going to talk about it anymore because we really don't know. I thought, thanks a lot, pal. That's a big help. But there are earth dwellers. They come up to the New Jerusalem in chapter 21. They come up in there. Look at chapter 21 and verse 24. It talks about the city in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun. That's the New Jerusalem that we're going to dwell in. Neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations, remember it was the healing of the nations? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, in the light of the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So those that are dwelling on the earth, the nations and the kings, will bring their presence to the Lord in the New Jerusalem. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. All right, the gates won't be shut. They can go from earth, the earth dwellers, into the New Jerusalem. For there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So, what is the healing of the leaves for the nations? There are earth dwellers in eternity. Who would they be? Well, and again, we're making conjecture here. Who would they be? At the rapture of the church goes up. It can't be anybody right now. The church goes up at the rapture. We go to the judgment seat of Christ, do we not? Automatically. During the tribulation period, while the tribulation is going on earth, we're at the judgment seat of Christ. During the tribulation, there will be people saved. Those that do not take the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. Those that endure to the end of the 7 years and escape the Antichrist will be saved. Well, if they're going to be saved during that 7 year period while the judgment seat of Christ is going on in heaven, where do they have their judgment? They're not at the judgment seat of Christ. Then during the 1,000 year period on earth, there are going to be those that are going to come to belief and faith in Christ during that time. But they weren't at the judgment seat of Christ. So the people in the tribulation and the millennium are a different group from the church. Is it possible? That's the only way I can word it. Is it possible, and this is what somebody else presumed to say, that the nations, the earth dwellers that are on the earth for all eternity, are the redeemed from the tribulation and the millennial period that have to come into the city for the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations? That's plan B. That's possibility number two. Number one, that verse does belong in the millennium, but there's difficulties with that. Number two, that verse is referring to the earth dwellers, which there seems to be in eternity while we're in the New Jerusalem, and they are coming into the city to renew their bodies by taking the healing leaves. But can I be honest with you? There's a problem with that too. You say, what's the problem with that? Look back at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be, what are the next three words? No more death. You know what the Bible said about the resurrection of Christ? And the last enemy to be put away is death. So in eternity, there is no possibility of death. So if there is no possibility of death, why are there leaves of healing for the nations? Now, you know where we just ended up? Right where we started. We just came full circle. And you say, what are the healing of the leaves of the nations? Well, that's either talking about the millennium, or there's earth dwellers that are on the earth for eternity that have to be regenerated, as J. Vernon McGee says might be a possibility, or we just don't know. And you can take your, here, we'll give you another little voting card here. You can check a blank. That's the millennium. That's the earth dwellers during the eternity. Or I just don't know and I can't wait to find out. That's going to be my check mark right there. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Again, we look at that. Can I tell you this? I've answered a bunch of questions. You know, what about suicide? Can women be ordained? What about the New King James Version of the Bible? This one I had more fun with than all the rest because it was something that was more of a challenge to me, if I could say it that way. We talked about cavemen, where they came from, all that kind of stuff. This one was more because it made me dig deeper into the Bible. And I enjoy every minute I spend doing that. Even if I come back out and say, I don't know, I still enjoy every minute getting into the Word of God. And you find other things along the way that are so beneficial while you're looking for an answer to something. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You can never waste time reading the Bible. Any time you spend there is valuable. Can I tell you this? I'll say this. I don't often get this honest with you. That sounds bad. This morning I was back in my office. We had a rough day yesterday. We took in the two foster kids on Thursday, 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. And that'll mess up your schedule. And Saturday, in the afternoon, I came home. I brought all my stuff with me, and I thought, well, I'll go home so I can help Sonia with these two kids, and I'll bring my stuff with me. And when they go to bed about 7:30 at night, I'll have time to sit down with my Bible and go over my notes for tomorrow morning, and everything will be fine. They messed up my schedule really bad. They didn't go to bed at 7:30 last night. The 2-and-a-half-year-old, the 2-year-old slept for about 2 or 2.5 hours yesterday afternoon, which kept her up until 11 o'clock last night. And the little one was up a little longer than that, but it basically shot my night. And so when I came in this morning, I came in early. I let Sonia drive separately. I came in a little bit earlier and got here a little bit earlier and got my office. And I got back there and I said, Lord, You know, I'm not as ready to preach this sermon this morning as I would like to be. I haven't specifically looked at all the details of what I want to preach. I've been studying this, I've been putting it together, but I just didn't feel like I had it all right there ready to go in the morning. And I said, Lord, You know my heart. And the problem is, yes, He does. But I was looking at the positive. Lord, You know my heart, and You know I saturate myself with Your Word. I study it, I read it, I try to live it, I do everything I can. This one time, would You do me a favor? And that's the way I talk to God. This one time, Lord, would You do me a favor and make up for that which I'm lacking? It's Your Word we're going to preach. It's Your resurrection we're going to talk about. Would You please just fill in the gap and recognize my human frailty and that I didn't get done what I needed to do. And you know what I'm thankful for? That the time I spend in the Word of God, God blesses and it comes out. And not just for me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. When we get into that Bible and it becomes a part of our lives change. Our lives are cleansed. Our lives are purified. We've spent half an hour, I guess, 35 minutes maybe on that one verse trying to find the answer. When we got to the end, we probably knew no more about it than we got at the beginning. But we spent 35 minutes going to Ezekiel and 2 Peter and Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. That's never wasted time getting into the Word of God. You could have been home from 7:45 to 8:15 watching whatever is on television on Sunday evening. And by the time it was over, you know what you'd be saying? Oh yeah, those folks in Indiana are right. Oh yeah, there's medicinal purpose in marijuana. You just be nodding your head with everything you're getting force-fed if you're not in the Word of God. But thank God for His book. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We go on to the next thing. It is the first... We do the Lord's Supper here every quarter. That's the first Sunday of January, then the first Sunday again of April. And I think it's a blessing. The first Sunday of April was Easter this year. or celebrating the resurrection, there's no better time to get together and celebrate the Lord's Supper than the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so we're going to do that tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Paul wrote here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying,